Good evening. You have your Bibles. Let's open them to Acts chapter 4. We'll be meditating a little bit on the story we find there in Acts chapter 4. As we've been announcing, we've got an important congregational meeting coming up tonight, and with the threat of some inclement weather, we're going to be incredibly brief tonight. But it's important that we do this. It's important that we take time to come before the Word together, not just to learn something new, but to allow the Word to form our lives, to submit ourselves to these words from God, to allow them to shape our lives as individuals, but not just as individuals, as a church, as a body of believers, as a community of disciples of Christ. So let's pray as we dive into the Scriptures together. Father, we come before you tonight incredibly grateful that you have allowed us this blessing. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be here tonight, to be united together as your people, as your church. And Father, we pray your blessing would be on us tonight, that as we continue to sing, and as we continue to pray, as we surround the table, and as now as we come before your word, Father, we pray that you would bless us with open hearts. We pray that you would bless us with open minds. Father, we pray that you would bless us with your Spirit. Father, may the things we say, may the things we do, may all of our lives bring incredible glory and honor to you and to you alone, in the power of your Son. It's through him that we pray. Amen. So the book of Acts is a powerful, powerful story. The story of the book of Acts is the story of God. It tells of God's work in our lives and God's work in our midst. The story of Acts is also the story of the work of Jesus, the Messiah. I love the way that Luke opens his story, the way he frames the beginning of this gospel. It's like he's telling us that the story of Jesus that Luke began telling in the gospel of Luke is continuing here in this story. That though Jesus has ascended to be with the Father in heaven, Jesus is still active and Jesus is still at work. He hasn't left us. He hasn't abandoned us. He's still at work. And the story of Acts is the story of the Holy Spirit. We call it the Acts of the Apostles, but we could just as well call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the driving force behind all of the action. The Holy Spirit is what gives power to the early church. The Holy Spirit is what drives the gospel further and further and further across the world and across the globe. The story of Acts is the story of God, the story of Jesus, the story of the Holy Spirit. But the story of Acts is also the story of the church. And because it's the story of the church, it means it is our story. It's the story that we share together. The world we live in is very different than the world of the first century. And things function a little bit differently now, and the world's a different place than it was then. But this story is still our story. And the examples it set for us are still the examples that we follow as we seek to be the church that God desires us to be. And as we dive into this text in Luke chapter 4, I hope we'll see two specific things, and I'll tell you up front exactly what I hope we see in this story. I hope we see in this story a church that prays. And I hope we see in this story a church that partners with the work of God. So with that in mind, let's read the story together. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23, Peter and John have just been before the council of the Jewish authorities. They have been commanded to no longer speak in the name of Jesus. And here's what happens next. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and they reported what the chief priests and what the elders had said to them. And when the church heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, quoting here from the Old Testament, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And then the story continues to tell us of their life together, of how they continued to speak that word boldly, how they continued not only to speak boldly, but to live boldly. So the first thing I hope we see is a church that prays. When they had come together after being in front of this ruling authority, the first thing they did was to pray. It wasn't a strategic planning meeting. It wasn't trying to figure out what their next step was going to be. Their first response, their gut instinct, when they were in trouble, when their lives were very literally on the line, when the sake of the gospel was in jeopardy, they prayed. And they prayed together. They prayed powerfully. This wasn't a timid prayer. And they prayed expectantly. They believed their prayer. More than that, they believed in the God to whom they were praying. They believed in the power of the Spirit that was at work among them. They believed in the Messiah. They believed in Jesus. And so this church gathered together to pray. And this church also partnered with God. Did you notice what they prayed for? They prayed for two things. They prayed for boldness. They prayed that they might speak God's word with all boldness. This is our role. This is the church's role in partnering with God. It is to speak the gospel with boldness, to not shy away from any threats, not to back down from any intimidation, but to speak the word of God with boldness. And so they prayed, God, grant us as your servants to speak your gospel with boldness. But then they also prayed for something else. Did you catch it? They prayed that God might stretch out his hand and that God might work among them. And as we continue to read the story of Acts, and as we continue to read throughout the pages of history, even leading up to 2015 in the Ohio Valley, we see that God does show up. And so the church prayed. They prayed that they might partner with God. And God showed up. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel spread like wildfire throughout the world. Let's be that kind of a church. Let's be a kind of church who prays together, a kind of church who prays with expectation, a kind of church that partners with God, and the kind of church that speaks and lives boldly. Tonight, if you're here and you are subject to God's invitation on your life, if you need to respond either for baptism or respond for prayers, we are here together to pray. We are here together to serve. We are here together to give our lives to the God who shows us so much grace. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and as we sing together?
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where the footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's mountains, path through the shining portals, turning our feet. We shall walk with the glad immortals, heaven's golden street. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Be seated, please. One of the most important things we do as we pray and as we worship is to surround the Lord's table together, to commune with our Father and to commune with each other. And so we're going to be singing a verse of a song that's not on the board, of song 366. And if you need to partake of communion, as we sing that song, just come and have a seat in the front two pews to your right, and we'll be able to surround that table together.
By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He come.
What a privilege it is that we as Christians or children of God can come around the table of the Lord. This morning, Brad used a passage of Scripture, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He says, "I will give you rest." And that rest was made by the death upon the cross. And just before Jesus descended back into heaven, He left these emblems. This bread represents His body, and this fruit of the vine represents His blood. And we are to partake of this in a manner well-pleasing to Him and remember His death. Would you bow with me in prayer? We're ever so grateful, Father, that we can come to You in prayer, giving You thanks for all the wonderful things that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We come at this time, Heavenly Father, thanking Thee for this bread which represents Thy Son's body, which was broken upon the cross. May the ones partaking of it partake of it in a manner that was well-pleasing to Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continuing our prayers, Father, we come thanking You for the fruit of the vine, which represents Thy Son's blood. Help us to partake of this in a manner that's well-pleasing to Thee, remembering His death. For this is our prayer, through Christ's name. Amen. We as Christians, upon the first day of the week, are to give as we're prospered. Let us go to God in prayer. Again, Father, we come thanking you for all the wonderful things that thou hast done for us, realizing that all good things come only from thee. We're ever so grateful that we can come to you in prayer and ask your forgiveness. We come now thanking thee for the opportunity to give back a portion of what we have made. Help us to give this willingly and not grudgingly, and may it be used for the furtherment of the church. Forgive us, in Jesus' name, amen. This concludes our worship service this evening. Is there any other announcements that should be made? Remember our Bible class Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock and the meeting immediately following this. If nothing else, let us stand and look to the Lord and be dismissed.
Bow with me. Dear God, we thank you again for the day that you've given us to gather here in this building and as friends and family to worship you and learn to be better servants for you, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the men and women fighting in this country and overseas for that freedom that we have to be able to do this. And we ask that you bring them home safely. We thank you for all the many blessings you've given us, our friends and family. And we thank you for those. And we thank you for all the ones you're going to continue to give to us because we know you will because you're just such a gracious and giving Father. We thank you for those. We ask you now as we have our congregational meeting that you watch over us as a congregation that we can make decisions that benefits the congregation and things that are appropriate in your sight. We also ask you to watch over us as we travel home this evening, Father, that you keep us safe and help bring us back safely at the next appointed time. In your Son's most holy name we pray. Amen.